Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It's Sunday. I hope the weekend's going well wherever you're watching or listening to this around the world. And it certainly should be going well after what we all saw at the Amex Stadium last night. What a fantastic win that was. Another statement sent out by this remarkable Arsenal team at the moment who are just a winning machine, and long may that continue. So we'll talk about yesterday's game. In today's show, we'll go over some of the big talking points. We'll look at what Mikel Arteta's had to say. We'll go over my player ratings. I did do my video last night from the Amex Stadium. If you haven't seen it yet, it is down there if you want my immediate post-match reaction and player ratings. But I will go over the player ratings again a little bit later on in this show. Got lots of you guys who've been sending in your comments and opinions on what you saw last night, so I'll share some of those as well. So let's get started, shall we? I have to admit, I was a little bit nervous going into this game. I don't like playing Brighton. They're such a good team. They're such a difficult side to play against. I really don't like playing Brighton. I was a little bit buoyed by the way Arsenal beat them earlier on this season at the Emirates. That was a really dominant display. But there's still a little bit of trepidation when you take on Roberto De Zerbi's side. But I really shouldn't have been too worried, because this Arsenal team, I don't know, they're just taking every single thing in their stride at the moment and they're making it look very, very easy. I say that. It wasn't very, very easy yesterday. It was a difficult game. It was a really tough game, which is what makes that win so, so impressive. So I really put it up there, one of the best performances of the season from this Arsenal side, because Brighton played well and they caused Arsenal problems. They caused them some problems that we haven't seen some teams cause them problems, not even Manchester City at the Etihad. You know, Brighton, the way Brighton play through the press and the way they played through the press at times yesterday, especially in the first half, was really, really impressive. And the way they did that as well generated a lot of space, because suddenly they were in behind Declan Rice, they were in behind Martin Odegaard, and they were isolating Jorginho at times in that first half, and they were running one on one basically into wide open spaces looking at the Arsenal back four. And you don't get that very often. Arsenal are so tight usually, they're so hard to play through, that we haven't seen Arsenal opened up like they were at times in that first half yesterday. But the way Arsenal coped with it, the way Jorginho coped with it, the way the centre-backs coped with it when players running at them, I just thought it was really, really impressive. And obviously the way they went on to then win the game with the three goals as well. Just, yeah, Arsenal got a lot of praise for that win last night and they deserved all of it, because I thought it was really, really impressive. And you look at the stats, expected goals, I mean, a 3-0 final score, the expected goals, Brighton 0.4, Arsenal 3.3, 20 shots for Arsenal, 10 for Brighton, shots on target 7-2. Possession, Brighton shaded it, not surprised the way Brighton play. But just a really excellent, dominant performance from Mikel Arteta's side. And he was really, really happy after the game. And you can understand why, when I sort of watched those first 15 minutes and I saw Arsenal pass up those big chances, Gabriel with the header, which he usually scores, you know, usually gobbles up those chances. Was the only surprise was seeing him put it wide from that Odegaard free kick. Saka, when he did everything right from Ben White's pass, lovely pass that by Ben White, by the way. And then Saka running at a defender, cutting inside on his left foot. You just thought, goal. When he curled that past the post, you're like, oh no, it's going to be one of those days. And then Jesus missed a header. Jesus had a head shot saved. But then they got the penalty. It was a penalty. You know, I saw lots of talk during the game, certainly on social media. I saw lots of talk sort of flashing up on my timeline of people complaining and saying that commentators were saying it wasn't a penalty. He got the ball. I thought when I watched that replay, I thought that's a penalty. Yes, he touched the ball a little bit, but he doesn't move the ball in any direction. It's still going where Jesus has tried to sort of sidestep him. Jesus is still going to get the ball and the defender's going to have gone past him. And he cleans him out. It's a penalty for me. Stonewall penalty. Roberto De Zerbi admitted it afterwards in his press conference as well. So I don't see what people were complaining about. Really good penalty from Saka, especially when you consider what happened last season in the game at West Ham around this stage of the season. That must have been going through his head. It was certainly going through my head as he was waiting to take it. Really, really crucial penalty to give Arsenal a lead. Tucked it away nicely. And it was a 1-0 lead at halftime. Obviously, he had that Raya save right before halftime, which was key. When that was in the air, I was having serious Porto flashbacks. It was really reminding me of when that shot came in and it went, just escaped, went over Raya's outstretched hand and nestled in the far corner in the last minute away in Porto. When the ball was in the air from Enciso's shot, I was thinking of that as well. But he just got to it. Really good save from Raya, who I thought had a really good game yesterday. Second half, I said it in my ratings video last night. It felt, when you got to around the hour mark of that second half yesterday, you could feel how crucial that stage was and how the next goal was, because the way Brighton were playing, the way they were causing Arsenal problems, the way the atmosphere was building in that Amex as it was still just 1-0, you really felt that if Brighton levelled, it was going to be really, really difficult for Arsenal. You could just, sometimes you can tell in these sort of matches, can't you, the way the game's panning out and how the atmosphere is building, that had Brighton got themselves on level term, they sort of got that big boost of the goal, it would have become really difficult. So that second goal was so, so crucial. Arsenal had a few chances to get it, didn't take it. But then Kai Havertz, who was just magnificent, got the goal. Brilliant from Jorginho in the lead-up to the goal. I've got a sort of couple of comments from about Jorginho later on in the show that I want to touch on. Really smart play from Jorginho for that goal, using all his football nous to get in down that down to the byline, cut it across. Lovely finish from Kai Havertz, who then set up Leandro Trossard for the third goal. And yeah, fantastic day. As you can imagine, Mikel Arteta was really, really delighted after the game in terms of what he'd seen from his side, the performance, the way they handled what is a really difficult Brighton team. On winning, he said, really happy, really proud of the boys. They put in a big performance to beat this great Brighton side. They haven't lost here since August, and that tells you the difficulty of it, of the task. But we were really good today. He was asking, you know, what's made this team click in this remarkable run that they are on in 2024. He said, in the end, it's about performances. You have to earn the right to win the games in this league and the teams. They ask you lots of questions, and there are a lot of things you have to control in a Premier League match to win away from home. The team seems to be controlling those moments much better and being comfortable in different stages of the games when the teams were defending all this stuff. That's the biggest step as a team. And there's definitely left. I mean, this is a proper, proper Arsenal team. Now, this is not just proper Arsenal, this is a proper football team. That's all I was thinking when I was watching that game yesterday was, you know, this, you would back this team to win most games. They've got everything about them now. They've got the defensive steel, they've got the character, they've got the personality, they've got a brilliant midfield, they've got attackers who can score. It's just a proper team that we're watching. You know, Arsenal were brilliant last season. That was a lot of fun, that sort of unexpected charge towards an attempt on the Premier League title. But this is a much better Arsenal team than last season. Absolutely, undoubtedly. This is a team that is far more equipped, far better built to win a major trophy than last season. They're evolving in front of our eyes, this team. And what we're seeing in 2024 is just the signs of an absolutely superb team. And the exciting thing is it can only get better. You know, I'm convinced it can only get better. The squad still needs improving. Some players in the first team perhaps still need improving. I don't know at the moment the way they're playing. Maybe not, but it probably is the case. And with Arteta in charge, with the mindset he has, with the way the club are sort of balanced at top level now, with the board and Edu and everyone working together, I just think they're going to keep getting decisions right, and they're going to continue to build this really, really impressive side. And, you know, Kai Havertz, he just deserves so much credit. It was such a difficult start for him at Arsenal. So many people questioned him. I was questioning him massively. I wasn't seeing any real sign from Havertz in those early days to really feel too positive about it. And I absolutely hold my hands up. I got it so, so wrong. Not for the first time. Certainly won't be for the last time either. Because he's a fabulous, fabulous player. And what he's bringing to this Arsenal team now is just something they didn't have. And I thought Arteta's comments on him were really, really interesting yesterday. He basically admitted that Havertz, the way he's adapted to the nine role, has forced him into a U-turn. You know, he was brought here to be a left eight. He was brought here to fill the void left by Granit Xhaka. Obviously, he's a versatile player. He showed that at Chelsea. So when Arteta signed him, he knew there was going to be options to play him up front. You know, the first time we saw him in the Community Shield, he was playing up front in a competitive game in England. he was playing as a nine. So yes, there was the option to do that, but the long-term planning for Havertz, there's no doubt about it. You know, he was coming in to be a midfielder and to try and replace Granit Xhaka. But the way he's played has basically forced Arsenal into a bit of a U-turn thing. You know, he's doing so well. We're playing so well. The players are adjusting to him in that position and linking off him so well that we've just got to let him go. We've got to play him. It's, you know, it's a definite U-turn. And Arteta basically admitted it yesterday. On the performance, he said, look, he's certainly having a huge impact on the team. I think his overall performances have been really good. And now his numbers in terms of goal contributions are really, really high. He needs to maintain that level. I think the understanding between the attacking players today was superb. I think they had real purpose and connection and a lot of clarity to attack against them. We created many chances. And then this was a really interesting bit, I thought, when he was asked, you know, if Havertz has found his best position at centre forward. And he says, a lot of time players decide where they have to play. We can have certain ideas, but then you see certain relationships and some things flow. And when it flows, you have to let it go. And I think Kai at the moment is flowing and he's really comfortable there. The rest of the team is comfortable with there and things happen naturally. So he's just saying, you know, he's doing so well there that we can't take him out of that position. You know, Gabriel Jesus is back fit. He's not ousting him from the team. Arsenal played Bayern Munich on Tuesday night in a huge game. Kai Havertz is going to be playing as a central striker in that game, not Gabriel Jesus. And he deserves to play there because of the way he's playing, the way the team are playing with him there. And yeah, sometimes you have to adjust your thinking. You have to adjust your plan. And even a manager like Mikel Arteta, who thinks so far ahead and has such sort of vivid plans in his mind about where he wants players to play and how he wants the teams to play. If someone starts to do something that changes that mind, he'll have to change it and have to go with it. And he's doing that. And he admitted that in that press conference yesterday.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I love, this was one of my favourite moments of the game yesterday. Gabriel's block at the end, you know, 3-0 up. Arsenal on the way back to the top of the Premier League. Brighton have a chance in injury time. Gabriel sticks his leg out, blocks it. And the celebrations in that penalty box were absolutely brilliant. It shows what this Arsenal team about, how hungry they are, how much they want to keep clean sheets, how proud they are of this record they've got so far in 2024. It's just an absolute elite mentality, a proper winning machine we're seeing in front of us. And Mikel said it was really pleasing for all the coaches to see that reaction from the team at 3-0. It's great because that tells you how much they want it, the importance and the focus they put in every single ball. And that was an extra bonus today. And a couple of you guys have got in touch. Steve from Essex says, man of the match performances from Havertz and many others, but I'd give it to our number 29. He was pure class from start to finish. The defenders were outstanding as well. What showed that best was the celebrations of the defenders. Raya and Trossard, when Big Gabby threw in himself in front of the shot, they were pushing and body slamming each other in celebration of keeping a clean sheet. Stefan as well below there says, Gabriel celebrating his tackle close to the end summed up how focused this team is. And it did. It really, really did. It was such a classic sort of thing that encapsulated what this Arsenal team are about right now. That one little moment. I absolutely loved it from Gabriel and the rest of the defenders. It was really, really good to see. So when I talk about Arsenal being a winning machine at the moment, I mean, the numbers that they are churning out in 2024 in the Premier League are truly, truly remarkable. You look at this from Squawker last night. Arsenal scored 38 Premier League goals in 2024, at least 7 more than any other side. Arsenal have conceded 4 Premier League goals in 2024, at least 6 fewer than any other side. Arsenal have kept 7 clean sheets in 2024, at least 2 more than any other side. You can't score against them and you can't keep them out. And then you look at that run in 2024 in the Premier League. Win, 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 win. Draw at the Etihad. Win, win. Unbelievable. 38 goals scored, 4 goals conceded. A truly remarkable run from Arsenal. I think that's 5 away clean sheets in a row in the Premier League. The first time that's happened in well over 25 years. It's just a remarkable run of form that we're witnessing at the moment from Arsenal. And the most crazy thing, and Mikel flagged this in his press conference yesterday, I think he said, where is it? He said, here he goes. We have won 10 and drawn 1 in the last 11, and we're not top of the league. This is the level as well. This is the reason why we have to improve so quickly as a team to try and be there. The fact Arsenal are on this run and are churning out these results and have been since the turn of the year, and they're still not top. Well, they are top, but you know what I mean? If Liverpool win today at Man United, then they're not going to be. It's just amazing. And, you know, I don't know if Arsenal are going to win this title. I still think, you know, I'm still think with the bookies, they're third favourites. With the opt-to-win percentages, I think they're still third favourites. And I can understand that with the fixtures that they've got coming up. So I have no idea if they win the title or not. But even if they don't win the title this season, this is a really, really top, top Arsenal side that we are seeing. It's a team to be really, really proud of and a team to be really, really excited by. And yeah, I'm just loving watching them right now. So these were my player ratings yesterday. I'll go rattle through them. Like I said, I did do my show from after the game yesterday at the IMAX Stadium where I went through them more in depth. But Raya, I gave an 8. I thought he was excellent. David Raya made a crucial save from Enciso. And apart from a couple of loose passes out in the first sort of 10 minutes or so, I thought he was excellent. Passing was good. Distribution was good. Swept up well. Claimed crosses so well. I thought it was a really top performance from David Raya. I gave him an 8. White, a 7. Saliba and Gabriel, 8s. Zinchenko, I gave a 6. Didn't think Zinchenko was bad. I thought he started off a little bit nervy. I thought he grew into the game and linked up pretty well with Gabriel Jesus down the left-hand side, but I gave him a 6. Remember, 6 is an average rating. You know, that's you've had a decent enough game for a 6 in my ratings. Jorginho, I bumped up to an 8. Initially, I gave him a 7, but I've actually moved him up to an 8. I sort of focused when I came home, focused more on the game when I watched it again. And, you know, he was top Jorginho. So I thought the first sort of 20, 30 minutes or so, he was isolated a little bit. That wasn't his fault. That was just the way Brighton played, and fair play to them. They did isolate him a little bit, but I thought he coped with it well. And then the second half, he was excellent. So I gave him an 8, Odegaard 8, Rice an 8, Saka a 6, Havertz my man of the match a 9, and Gabriel Jesus a 7. That was from the starting 11. And this is what you guys have been saying about yesterday's game. Anthony says, my man of the match by far is Jorginho. That man is something else. Today we thank Chelsea and Brighton for Jorginho, Havertz, Weiss, White, and Trossard. Jet fuel can't melt autism vaccines. Says the thing about Jorginho's positioning for the second goal, and this is a really, really good point, is that he sees that Saka is down with an injury, so he decides to occupy the space that Saka normally would have. The defenders switch off for a second because Saka is not there, and that allows Jorginho through. 200 footballing IQ. Brilliant, brilliant comment then. Absolutely spot on. I thought that was so good from Jorginho when you watched it. Because at first, like, what on earth is Jorginho doing there, getting on the overlap and getting to the byline? And then you totally notice it is because Saka is down injured. The game carries on where Saka usually would be. Obviously, he's not there because he's injured. And Jorginho sees that. So when Odegaard has the ball, it's Jorginho who makes that run into the space that's been vacated by Saka not being there. Brighton are confused. And Arsenal take full advantage. Top, top play from Jorginho, that. Rasbusen says, another great performance by the Arsenal. Delighted for Havertz as he's now justifying the confidence Arteta had in him. I was always hopefully we'd come good. Even the great Henri went 9 games without a goal when he first signed for Arsenal. Nick says, hi, Charles. Glad you can find some untidy cable work as a backdrop. This is obviously, I didn't even notice in the video I recorded from the Amex Stadium last night. Just like home. Yes, indeed. Just like home. Those wires you all love. Arsenal are really becoming a fantastic team. Kaya really is a superb solution. Up front, stunner of a gunner says, thought you were on holiday. Lol, no, not. I'm going tomorrow. Hopefully, I will be able to do a video in the morning tomorrow before I go. I'm not sure, but hopefully, I will. But I am on holiday from tomorrow for a week. I've got a couple of pre-recorded shows lined up, and I am going to try and do a couple at least while I'm away. So I'm going to try and at least have some content for you. Probably not as regularly as normal, but I'll try and have some content for you while I am away. But I'm not going to be at the Bayern Munich game. I'm not going to be at the Aston Villa game. So, yeah, a bit of an Easter break with the family. Thought you were on holiday. Oh, good result today. It was a potential banana skin, but we did what we needed to do. Give me the belief we're going to do the same for the last 7 games. The league isn't in our hands, but we can only do what we can do. Bring on Bayern. Come on, you Gunners. who Sin says, I will never doubt a decision by Arteta again. I, along with countless others, was so wrong about Havertz, whereas Arteta was so right. Yeah, as I had to say at the start. Kayako Coco, I think that says, hi, Charles. Would it be fair to say that last season's January signings with Trossard and Jorginho are the best in some years? I believe so, because of the relatively low amounts we paid, but the impact they've both had on the team. Georgie's experience solidified our midfield, and Trossard's versatility and clinical finishing has added depth to the side, probably last seen in the invincible days. I could be reaching, but I think when we win the league in May, very nice positive thinking there, we'll look back at January 2023 as the highlight of Mikel's recent shrewd acquisitions. Love from sunny South Africa. Great comment there. Yeah, look, I've said it before, those two additions, Kivior as well. You know, it was a really, really strong January window Arsenal had. Especially as given the fact they didn't get their first targets, and so they're to transition to the other targets who were further down on the list, because obviously they wanted Caicedo, they wanted Mudryk, didn't get either of them, so they quickly turned to Trossard and to Jorginho, and it's worked a treat. That's smart business. That's good plan B thinking from Arsenal there, and it's worked out superbly, so congratulations to them on that. Tim says, hi, Charles, do you think the Arsenal work rate of the whole team is underrated by people outside of the Arsenal community? Maybe by fans, but certainly not by sort of pundits and media and other managers. You listen to what De Zerbi said ahead of the game yesterday. You listen to what Rob Edwards said after the Luton game. You know, people in football know how good this Arsenal team is and how hard they work. So it might be underrated by some rival fans, but certainly not by people in and around football at the moment. Sebeka says, this Arsenal team are phenomenal, perfect balance of defence and tack. Liverpool and City are really strong teams, but they aren't as balanced as they give teams too many chances to score against them. Still got a long way to go, a lot of football to play, but so far since the turn of the year, Arsenal have been the best team in the league by far. They have been, absolutely. I was saying it yesterday, every game you watch City and Liverpool at the moment, they give you a reason to believe they might not win. It seems like that anyway. Pretty much every game, it feels like they either go behind or they give teams chances. And there's always that sort of thing in the back of your head thinking, oh, they might slip up here. If you're watching Arsenal in 2024, I think probably apart from that Brentford game when Havertz scored late on, you've never thought that they were going to let a team into a game because they've been so good at both ends of the pitch. Rockstone says, rewriting Bayern history will be one of the highlights of the season for me. I know it's difficult to choose a highlight, but beating Bayern would send me over the moon. Yeah, huge, huge game coming up on Tuesday night. Thank you, everyone, for getting in touch with that, sharing your opinions on yesterday's game. Yeah, that Bayern game's huge. Big defeat for them yesterday, 3-2 going down by Leverkusen, now just one win away from the Bundesliga title. Not great preparation for Bayern for Arsenal, but does that make it even more dangerous? How are they going to be that sort of wounded animal when they know they're out of the league and they're basically everything depends on this game for them? Is that going to damage them? We'll have to wait and see. I'm pre-recording the show that's going to go out on Tuesday. I'm doing it very, very soon with Lewis Ambrose from Arseblog fame and, you know, really clued up on his German football. So we're doing a preview show on that. And I'm going to speak to him in depth about Bayern Munich, what's going on there. And that's going to go out on Tuesday morning on the day of the game. So keep your eyes peeled for that. For that one. But so until then, and hopefully, like I said, I'm away on holiday from tomorrow now. Hopefully I will get a video out for tomorrow morning for you. But if not, that's why. But there will be one on Tuesday, no doubt about it. It'll be that Bayern preview show with Lewis Ambrose. So thank you very much for watching. Thank you for getting in touch. Appreciate it. As always, enjoy your Sunday. Sit back, watch Man United versus Liverpool. Unfortunately, I'm not expecting Man United to do any favours, but you never know. Watch it, enjoy it, and let's see what happens. Until next time, everyone, have a great day. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.